Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey by Rabbi Zalman Ritterman. We are up to chapter 55, A Piercing Set of Eyes. Pesach Tzvi, the Baal Tshuva, began his new life of Torah and mitzvahs. At the same time, he was no less an interesting and colorful personality than he had been when he lived as a powerful nobleman. Everyone in Harki enjoyed his company and his lively participation in the Jewish community. Determined to make up for close to 50 years of his life that had been wasted, he hired a skilled tutor to teach him Aleph Beis, to show him how to daven from a siddur, and to help him learn Chumash. He rapidly progressed through all the stages of learning that a small child covers in the first few years of Cheder. Pesach Tzvi was a wealthy man. He did not have to worry about earning a living. Not only had he amassed a fortune over the years, but his dear friend the prince offered him a lavish parting present, the prince's large estate next to the town of Harki. In fact, out of gratitude for his life having been saved while in Harki, the prince also gave each of the residents of Harki the grounds on which they had built their homes. Each household now owned its own parcel of land and did not have to pay rent or taxes on it. By now, all of Harki was aware of the miraculous cure that the Tzaddik of Mezhibush had given to Rav Nissen of Harki. They were also aware of the amazing story of Pierre Lewis's unexpected return to his Jewish roots. As a result, the entire Harki discovered the Baal Shem Tov's greatness. Interested to learn more about this unique Tzaddik, they were introduced to the powerful new teachings that he taught. And this was how the Jewish community of Harki came to cherish the Baal Shem Tov's path in serving Hashem, the teachings and ways of Chassidus. The story of Pesach Tzvi and the prince was told to Baruch by Yitzchak Shol, the son of Rav Nissen of Harki. Needless to say, it made a deep impression on Baruch. This was the kind of information that influenced his path in serving Hashem that he would follow for the rest of his life. Baruch remained in the home of Yitzchak Shaul's father-in-law, the smith of Dabar Misl, throughout Pesach. After Pesach, the house quickly emptied out. Eliezer Reuven, the blacksmith, traveled to the neighboring towns and villages where many farmers and homeowners asked him to fix or build things on their properties. The blacksmith's two eldest sons-in-law also left his home, returning to the yeshivas at which they taught. Shmuel, the blacksmith's youngest son, set off for his own yeshiva. Only Baruch and Yitzchak Shaul remained in Dabar Misl. Now that his father-in-law was absent, Yitzchak Shaul spent long hours at the smith to complete all the work that needed to be done. Baruch, on the other hand, spent his days concentrating on his learning and his thoughts. In the evenings, after Yitzchak Shaul had finished his day's work and completed his daily studies, the two of them sat together and talked. From these conversations, Baruch learned about another fascinating personality. Not only was he a most unique person, but he was also similar to Baruch in two ways. First of all, he was named Baruch, and secondly, this other Baruch was a seeker like himself, a restless and curious soul. And this is the story of Baruch of Viezhin. He was born in the town of Ilya, near the city of Vilna. From a young age, he was known as a genius who spent most of his time studying Torah with deep concentration. He later went to study at the famous yeshiva in the town of Slutsk. Baruch was a thinker and was generally lost in his own thoughts. He did not have much to do with those around him, and he earned himself the nickname Silent Baruch. During the 2 years he spent in Slutsk, he promised himself that he would try to never turn to a fellow human being for financial support. In order to survive, he would go to the nearby forest in his spare time and chop wood. He carried the wood back into town and sold it as firewood. With the few coins that he earned, he bought himself bread to eat. He preferred this difficult way of life rather than accepting communal charity funds or eating at the homes of wealthy families in town, although that was the usual practice for yeshiva students. After 2 years, Silent Baruch traveled to Vilna. After a while, he continued to Viezhin, where he was accepted into the yeshiva of the Gaon, Rav Shaul. In order to survive without accepting any support from anyone, Baruch worked for Eliyahu, a villager who lived on the outskirts of the city. Eliyahu produced milk on his small farm and sold it to the residents of Yejin. Twice a week, on Sundays and Wednesdays, Baruch drove a horse and cart with milk jars to sell at the marketplace. Eliyahu paid him well, and Baruch was able to spend the rest of the week learning Torah without worry. Eliyahu dressed, spoke, and acted like any other simple and uneducated village Jew. Baruch eventually discovered that Eliyahu was not so simple after all. He once happened to arrive at the farm earlier than usual. As he approached his employer's house, he noticed through the window that Eliyahu was sitting at a table bent over a large book. Baruch stared in amazement as he realized that the farmer was concentrating deeply on a page of the Gemara. Eliyahu even had additional svarim open on the table, and he would glance at them from time to time as he studied, in the manner of an expert Talmud Chacham. Baruch was shocked. The cow farmer was a true Talmud Chacham. He continued watching in silence until Eliyahu finished his studies and put away his svarim. He decided to keep Eliyahu's secret and to pretend not to have seen anything at all. Baruch kept silent, even after finding his employer learning on a number of other occasions. Nevertheless, his attitude towards Eliyahu changed completely, and he began calling his employer Reb Eliyahu out of respect. One day, Baruch of Yejin came across a sefer he had never seen before. It was a book of Kabbalah titled Avodas HaKodesh. Among other teachings, the sefer explains the purpose for which man was created and describes the ways in which he should serve the Creator. He now realized that hidden behind the teachings and laws of the Torah was a much deeper knowledge that he knew nothing about. He also realized that he would have to leave Slutsk. Although he was very happy studying in Rav Shaul's yeshiva, it was not enough for him. He longed with all his heart to discover the Torah's spiritual secrets and a deeper, even more meaningful way of drawing closer to Hashem. After some time, he was told about a yeshiva in the city of Brisk that was led by a tzaddik and goyim named Rav Shlomo. It was a small yeshiva that accepted no more than 60 students with the best abilities. Rav Shlomo was well known as a brilliant goyim and a tzaddik who served Hashem with all his heart and soul. Silent Baruch felt that Rav Shlomo may be able to guide him in his own search for the truest path in the service of Hashem. He left Slutsk and headed for Brisk. When he reached Rav Shlomo's yeshiva, Baruch discovered that the students, as well as the residents of Brisk, were in awe of the great tzaddik. They trembled in his presence. In fact, unless he was delivering a shir, Rav Shlomo barely spoke with the students at all. If he invited a student to his office for a private conversation, the student considered it a yomtiv, and all the others wished him mazel tov. Baruch realized that he was younger than all the other students. Many of them were already married. He decided to sit and study in the yeshiva's library, a separate room that was crammed with shelves of svarim. He studied undisturbed in the library and at the same time kept an eye on how the yeshiva was run, which subjects the students studied, their daily schedule, and most importantly to Baruch, how the students and their esteemed Rosh Yeshiva thought and acted. On one of his first evenings in the yeshiva, Baruch sat in the quiet library and concentrated on Reishis Chachma, a book on Kabbalah and Musar, written by Rabbi Eliyahu ben Moshe Davidas, a famous Mekubal who passed away in 5352, which corresponds to 1592, and is buried in Hebron. Baruch was totally lost in thought. He did not notice a piercing pair of eyes staring at him so intensely that they seemed to be able to discover everything about him. Any other student would have felt the powerful gaze immediately and glanced up in alarm. But not Baruch. He continued his enjoyable learning, concentrating not only with his mind, but also with his heart and soul.